as mine eyes.
My eyes will see the King,
the Lamb upon the throne.
The Lamb upon the throne.
Yes, mine eyes.
My eyes will see the King.
Yes.
The Lamb upon the throne.
Yes, mine eyes.
My eyes now see the King. The Lamb upon the throne, who reigns forever.
We worship you, the God who reigns forevermore. Lord Jesus, seated at the right hand of majesty on high. The world doesn't know who you are, but we certainly do. By your Spirit, we know who you truly are. We humble ourselves as we enter your word. You are the Word. For in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And the Word became flesh, or manifest in the physical. Now you have given us this written Word that unveils you, the true, the living Word, by your Spirit. And therefore, as we go in the Word, we humble ourselves under your mighty hand. And pray for a fresh unction and anointing of that Holy Spirit to come and unveil from the written word the living word. That we might see you as you truly are. And that from this word will proceed life. And life will transform us into your likeness. Let your word go in power. And let it heal, let it deliver, let it break yokes, let it free men. So that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. Father, and help me to speak with precision and redeem the time and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this same word things new and old, indeed as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray.
Amen.
And all those in agreement, receiving every blessing I mentioned, agreed and said, the message I have this morning, afternoon, is a very crucial and important message. The Lord had dropped it into my heart some weeks ago. And these days, I just wait on God to find out exactly when he wants to deliver a word. Many, many times now, I get 5, 6, 7, 8 messages ahead of time. As I'm reading my Bible, the Holy Spirit will speak to me, and I will make a note of it. And he said, this is the time for this message, because it is going to be the foundation, or one of the foundations, on which you're going to build as you go into the new year and the new decade. It's not truth we don't know before, but we need to have a fresh, everybody say fresh. Fresh revelation. Fresh wisdom. Fresh understanding. Fresh practice of these truths. And so I have titled this message, Taming the Tongue. Everybody say, Taming the Tongue. I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you. Taming the Tongue. The Bible tells us in James chapter 3 that a Christian who learns to tame his tongue will become perfect. And in the days in which we're living, and the days that are ahead of us, with all the perilous times and the different challenges, you have to learn to use your tongue properly. In particular, you have to tame your tongue. Let us go to James chapter 3. We'll start with the King James. I will ask for different translations as I'm led by the Spirit. James chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 8 to start with. James chapter 3, the perfect epistle, I call them perfection epistles. Perfection epistle of James chapter 3 in verse 1. And James speaking, read after me. Say, my brethren. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking to you and I. We are brethren. Be not many masters, or that means teachers, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. What that really means is that we're going to judge with a higher standard. If you're a teacher or you're a pastor, the standard that God is going to judge you is going to be higher than the standard that he judges other people. And the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. For in many things, we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle. The word bridle means to control the whole body. Now, this is a great secret statement that the Bible makes here. It says, in many things we slip up. He said, but if you will learn not to slip up in what you say, you will be able to control your whole body. And in these days of lasciviousness, sexual immorality, and all kinds of terrible things that are happening on the earth, you need to be able to control your body. And as we're going to see, I'm getting ahead of myself, your circumstances, by the fruit of the Spirit released through your mouth and the power of God released through your mouth. And he goes on to say, behold. The word behold means look and see. He's trying to show you something. We put bits in horses' mouths. I didn't hear you. That they may obey us. And we turn about their whole body. I'm not a horse rider. But if you see people who ride horses, you find that they put a bit in the horse's mouth. So if they want the horse to go this way, they will pull like this and the horse will go that way. If they want him to go that way, they'll pull this way. So the bit in the mouth is what directs how the horse goes, where the horse goes. He's using a natural illustration to teach a great spiritual truth. Again, he uses a second metaphor, a second example or illustration. In verse 4, it says, behold also the ships. The word ship there is really like a boat. You know, back in the olden days, they didn't have the big ocean liners we have today. But the principle is the same. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds. I didn't hear you. Yet they are turned about with a very small helm whithersoever the governor listeth. That's old English. What it means is that the pilot or the captain of the boat turns the boat in whatever direction with a very small rudder. The rudder is very small in comparison with the size of the ship. But it is that little thing, that little rudder, that determines where the ship goes. So having given those two examples, the bits of the horse and the rudder of the ship, he said, even so, I didn't hear you, the tongue is a little member. Look at all the members of your body. Look at your fingers, your hands, your legs. This tongue is very tiny, relatively. And boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindled. Again, that's old English. Let's quickly jump to the Amplified Bible there. Just quickly, just jump, just for a minute. You know, we're going to come back to the King James. It says, even so, the tongue is a little member, and it can boast of great things. Watch this. See how much wood, or how a great forest, a tiny spark can set ablaze. We're having this problem with the global warming right now, and there are these wildfires in Australia, in Canada, in California, and in places like that. You'll be amazed the little tiny things that start the fire. Just a very tiny spark, and then it sets the whole, this large forest, you know, of hundreds and thousands of acres, and sets the whole place on fire. People's homes are destroyed. But where did it start? A small spark. He's teaching us something here. He's telling us the strategic and vital importance of our tongues. Verse 6, he said, and the tongue is a fire. I didn't hear you. A world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. Watch this, that it defileth the whole body. If you're having problems with your body, your tongue is the problem. And that is in so many areas: self-control, sexual purity, health, healing, everything. It comes back to your tongue. It comes back to your tongue. And setteth on fire. I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you, folks. The course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. Now, let's look at that in the Amplified again. And then we'll also look at it in the New International Version if I deem it necessary. And the tongue is a fire. I didn't hear you. The tongue is a world of wickedness set among our members, contaminating and depraving the whole body, and set on fire, and setting on fire, excuse me, the wheel of birth, the cycle of man's nature, watch this, being itself ignited by hell. Ah, brethren, if you can get this, 2020 is going to be great for you. And the decade that is coming will be the greatest decade of your life. It's going to be a decade of glory. But you must get this tongue thing right. You must tame that tongue. Every problem you have today starts with your tongue. I'm going to show you in even greater detail by the time we finish this message. You can bring it back to the tongue. If you can deal with this, you've won. Look at the New International Version. That's in verse 6. It says, the tongue also, New International Version, the tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. Watch this. It corrupts the whole body. Watch this. And sets the whole course of one's life on fire. So it's not even the body, it's also the circumstances. I don't know what's happening. You know this problem. You can come back to the tongue. Even your circumstances are being controlled by what is coming out of your tongue. I don't believe the church has taught this enough. I know we've talked about it. And then with greater clarity and greater understanding. And that's why the Holy Spirit has asked me to come, and he says it's going to be critical for them in the year that is coming. See, we're entering deep waters in the Spirit. But good news. It's going to be great times, but there will also be times of challenges. And when you learn how to deal with things with your tongue, no matter how terrible the situation, you can turn it around. Be careful what you say. You know, the Yoruba people have one of our proverbs, you know, and it must have been God who taught us. It says, "Akpemora ni temidire." Literally, what that means is that it is what I say to myself that becomes my good. Ire in our language means good. Akpemora means I say to myself. So, "Akpemora ni temidire" means it is the good I say to myself that becomes my good. How did they know? God taught them. Amen. The typical Yoruba man, no matter how broke he is, he will never tell you he's broke. He will say, oh, follow me. He doesn't have any money. But he will say, I have plenty of money. He is calling the things which are not as though they are, so that they will become. He didn't read Romans chapter 4. He doesn't know man, he doesn't Mark 11:23. But they have observed over the centuries and the decades that if you keep saying the wrong thing, that's what's going to happen to you. And if you start saying the right thing, that's what's going to happen to you.
Amen.
Even though my Yoruba is not perfect, but I got that one. Praise the Lord. Are you listening to me? Let's go back to James chapter 3. I'm not done yet. And it is set on fire of hell. Now, verses 7 and 8 is the place we want to, you know, is very instructive. He said, for every kind of beasts, I didn't hear you, we're back in King James, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. In other words, has been tamed by natural human skills, you know. He said, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith we bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made out of the similitude of God. Let me just quickly hit that. What he's saying here is this: you cannot tame the tongue by natural human power. It can't be done. He did not say the tongue cannot be tamed. But he's saying that if you want to use self-discipline and all the natural human ability, you can't tame your tongue. But the Holy Ghost can tame your tongue. But you have to allow him to do it. And you have to take it as a project. Everybody say project.
Project.
Say, I have a project for 2020. I will tame my tongue. This time next year, my tongue will be completely tamed. I will only say what God wants me to say. Nothing will come out of this mouth without divine approval.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
At this time next year, you're a completely different person.
Amen.
Tame your tongue. Tame it. But you can't do it by natural human power. Now, I took time to honor the Holy Spirit and I said, oh, Lord, help me to explain this thing in a way that the people can understand and then, you know, put it into practice. And he gave me some things. The tongue determines the words that we speak. So the tongue in itself is not the issue. The tongue is a physical thing. It's in your mouth. It's a physical organ. But it is the organ that releases words, and words are spiritual. The Lord Jesus said, he said, the words I speak, they are spirit and they are life. So it is the thing that is actually causing the problem is not the tongue per se, but the words that the tongue is speaking. And it affects three areas of your life. Now, before I go there, I have something I know here. He says, what we say. I've never heard anybody say it like this. I've preached it over the years, but it's come out in a clearer way to me now. The tongue, what we say, is controlled by what is, now this is the different part, what is dominant in the heart. I didn't say what is in the heart, I said what is dominant. What is in your heart, that's why the Bible doesn't say of the heart the mouth speaks, it says of the abundance of the heart. That's going to be crucial to the things we're learning now. It's not just the heart, it's the abundance. It's what is dominant. So if you have faith in your heart, And then you also have fear. But the fear is dominating the faith. Then what is going to come out is going to be the fear. And it's the fear that will determine what happens. You have to understand this. What we say comes from what is dominant in our... And when we say have, we're not talking about spirit. We're talking about soul.
Yes, sir.
We're talking about will, mind, and emotions. You look at that illustration of the life of God that we talk, you know, because of time, I don't think we have time to put it on. But let me just... You see, that's why the Bible says the abundance of the heart. Your spirit, this is the inner man here. Then you got the life and the power of God that should come up here. Then you got the soul here. You have to allow what is here to move up and dominate what is here. And that will now determine what comes out.
Yeah.
And what comes out will determine your destiny.
Amen.
Watch this. If what is here is God, and what is here and here is the devil, what is going to come out is the devil. That is why, thank you, that is why it is set on fire of hell. I'll tell you when to stop. Just keep rolling the movie. I'll tell you where to stop. I'm just making a point here. That's why it says it is of the abundance of the heart. Not the heart. The abundance of... Everybody say the abundance of the heart. What is dominant in the heart, that's what comes out. And that's what causes things to happen. And this is an illustration here. And you okay, keep rolling, keep rolling. Let the blood come and cleanse the... Okay, stop here for a minute. Look, this guy is a Christian. And he still has the life of God. You can see the yellow there. He still has the life of God inside him. But look at what is on top. It's all black. It's all dark. So what's dominant here? The black. But the life is still there. Hence Jesus said, be careful so that the light that is in thee be not dark. It's light. But because the light is not sufficient, what is coming out of the mind, the will, the emotions, and what's coming out of the mouth is darkness rather than light. This is the condition of a large number of Christians. And you know, the sad thing is that many people live like this for years. They're born again, can see? The life of God is there, but it's not dominant. And so they live like the Apostle Paul said. He said, I could not write unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto babies in Christ. Whereas there's still envy and strife and all kinds of this, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You know, all these things, you know. He says, and watch this. He said, and you walk like mere men. They're born again. But instead of life and light and wisdom and love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, instead of those things being dominant, it's the other things that are dominant. That is the condition we must change.
Amen. Amen.
That is what we mean when we say, thank you, Bimbo. If you go to the next verse, verse 3, because time. Yeah, look at this. These are born again Christians. They're brethren. There's among you envy and strife and division. He said, are you not carnal? Carnal just means you're dominated. You're dominated by those negative spiritual forces, even though the life of God is inside you. But it's not dominant. It's there, but it's not in abundance. And it's of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. Now, I want to share a few more scriptures with us concerning this. It's an amazing thing to me when the Lord began to show me some things. There's another scripture. This one is not so popular. Many Christians don't know the scripture I'm about to share with you. I'm sure you've read it, because in the book of Proverbs. Look at Proverbs chapter 21. Hello? Proverbs chapter 21. And look at verse 23. Proverbs chapter 21. And look at verse 23. Amazing scripture here. Watch this. He said, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue. Notice there are two different things. You know, you'll assume that they are the same. No, it's not. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue will keep his soul, his mind, his will, his emotions from trouble. Now, watch this. Watch this. Your tongue determines what you say. Your mouth determines what you eat. I'll say it again. Your tongue determines what you say, but your mouth determines what you eat. And you know what? What you eat affects what you say. That's a question of fasting and living a fasted life and all these things come in. So when you're talking about controlling, taming the tongue, you're not only talking about taming the tongue what you say, it's also taming the tongue what you eat. Ouch. Hello? Isaiah chapter 7 verse 15. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to choose. So what he's eating is affecting what he's choosing. Allah Shahua. Everybody read it with me. Say, butter and honey shall eat. I didn't hear you. I did not hear you. Let's start from the beginning. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to what? And choose good. Do you mean my eating can affect my heart? Oh, most assuredly, yes. Most assuredly, yes. That doesn't mean you shouldn't eat. But part of taming the tongue also has to do with not only what you say, but what you eat.
Amen. Amen.
That's why so many people are failing in this area. If you overeat, it will cause your heart to be overcharged. Luke chapter 21, verse 34. Luke chapter 21 and verse 34. And he says there, he says, let me read it. It's in my Bible. They'll put the screen on in a minute. Aha. And take it to yourselves. I didn't hear you. Lest at any time your hearts be what? Overcharged with self-indulgence. Self-indulgence means overeating, overindulgence. And drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that day come upon you awares. So what we even eat and the way we eat, that's why we have to be disciplined in everything. That doesn't mean you shouldn't eat well. You eat well, but you're disciplined so that what you eat does not affect your heart. For instance, I discovered this. This is not a law to make people in bondage. The Holy Spirit has given the right scripture I'm going to use for this. All things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. Hello? So what I'm preaching is not, I never eat and preach. Never. I've been doing it for years. I tried it. Trust me, it doesn't work. You know, I on a Sunday morning, for example, I'm not going to eat, sausage and bacon and bread and then come to church and come and preach. The anointing will just be flat. I tried it. I thought I could get away with it. When I was a younger Christian, it doesn't work. That does not mean I don't eat. I eat. But when I want to minister, I discover that I need to put food aside. I've discovered that over the years. If I eat any kind of appreciable, I can take a fluid, I can even take soup, I can take something very light if I need to. But I can't eat a proper meal and then go and minister. I will not be able to minister effectively. I know the difference. Now, to some people, I may look as if I ministered effectively. But to me, I know, and God, I know I'm ministering at a much lower level than I could have ministered. Now, you know, many pastors don't know this. They just think it's normal. The normal, the bad has become normal. Because nobody taught them this. That what you eat can affect your heart. What does it do? It drains the abundance of the heart. How many people know what happens when you have a battery in your car and then you leave the light on overnight? Hello? Then you come the next morning and you try and start the car. And the guy goes, what's wrong with this car? Everything is fine. The battery is drained. He's been using energy on something that is unnecessary. The light was on overnight. You did not need the light on overnight. So all the energy from the battery, the current from the battery, has been drained in servicing that thing. That's what happens when you overeat. The power goes to drain the heart. So the heart, you know, the heart will now, you know, it's going to digest the food. So it's using power, and then the power that's left for the anointing. We learned it, you know, and so we've learned to live what the Bible calls a fasted life. Actually, the word fasted life is not in the Bible. You know, it talks about fasting and it talks about self-control. But the person that actually coined that term is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And I learned it from the Lord Jesus through Kenneth Hagin. One time, Jesus appeared to Kenneth Hagin of his many visions. I've never heard anybody say it before like this. I heard it only from Kenneth Hagin through the Lord Jesus Christ, Kenneth Hagin. And Kenneth Hagin used to do what we do. He used to fast. He used to fast twice a week. I think, I don't remember the exact days, maybe Tuesday and Thursday or something like that. You know, but he used to fast. So he would fast, you know, and then he would pray, you know, and which was very good, you know. But when he finishes fasting, he wants to compensate. Hello, somebody. Praise the Lord. So he will overeat. So when he would overeat, you know, then he would not be as effective as he should be. So in one of the visions, Jesus appeared to him and said, you know, you try and fast and pray. He said, you fast twice a week, which is good. He said, but he said, then you eat like a hog. And those were Jesus' words. He said, you eat like a hog. He said, I would rather, you know, and then the flesh, you know, rises up. He said, I would rather that you keep the flesh under control all the time. He said, start living a fasted life. He said, eat, but don't eat all you want. So that your heart can be in the life of God, and the character of God can dominate the heart and not the flesh, the sin nature. And so so he learned that, then he started practicing it, and then he taught us, and we've practiced it, and we've taught other people. So you need to understand that to control the tongue, you need to not only control what is inside your heart in terms of the life of God and the power of God, but you also need to control what you eat. Mommy's laughing. Hallelujah. I didn't hear one amen, not one. If you can say amen, say oh me. Amen. I'm going to repeat what I said, and maybe I'll get a better amen this time. I need to control, to tame your tongue. You need not only to control the life of God that is inside your heart, but you also have to control what you eat. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That scripture is an amazing scripture in this Proverbs chapter 21. That's what the book of Proverbs is for. It's wisdom. Say, whoso keepeth both things. You have to keep your mouth, what you eat, and then you have to keep your tongue, what you say. Then you will keep the mind, the will, and the emotions. Say, I'm troubled. Oh, I'm depressed. Oh, I'm feeling sad. Oh, this. Oh, that. You know who bring out that soul trouble to your soul? You. It's the devil. I know it's the devil. But he can never enter unless you give him space. Hello? So you need to learn to control. I'm going to show you how to do it in a minute. You need to control what you eat and what you say in order to control your life the way God wants it controlled. And so, hello? Okay. Now, what you say or what comes out of your mouth, let's put it that way. What comes out of your mouth controls three basic things. They're big groups, but I want to summarize it. So I give you what the Bible calls the whole counsel of God. I just want to pick one or two little things. You know, inside these big things, there are other little things. But let's deal with the big thing. Number one, what you comes out of your mouth controls your physical body. That's going to include sickness. It's going to include self-control, sexual purity, you know, strength, weakness, everything. It controls your body. Number two, what comes out of your mouth controls your circumstances. You know, things just don't happen, folks. Yeah. Things are happening as a consequence of what you said. I think it was recently, Mommy was rehashing something I had taught some years ago. You know, I just remembered it now as I'm ministering. You know, that the prayer is the recording. What happens in real life is playback. See, what I'm saying is what I am recording. You know, when you're going to watch something on television and all that, they record the program. Then you're not going to do the playback. The playback cannot change anything that the recording didn't have. The recording is the real thing. The playback is only playing back what was recorded. What is going to happen in your life and your circumstance is the playback. The recording was what you said with your tongue.
Amen. Hallelujah.
It was what you said with your tongue in the place of prayer, primarily, and not only prayer, even after the place of prayer, what are you saying? You are where you are today because of everything you said up till today. If you can't say amen, say omen.
Amen.
Hello? Then the third thing is your destiny. Everybody say your body, your circumstances, and your destiny are controlled by what comes out of your mouth. It's a great truth. You know you cannot get saved without your mouth. Hello? That if thou believe in thy heart, and shall, you know, but believe in thy heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, and shall confess with thy mouth that Jesus, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, destiny. I don't believe in perfection. You are just shaping your destiny. Nobody can be perfect so long as we are in the flesh. Hello? Thank you. So shall it be unto you. By your words you will be justified. And by your words you will be condemned. You are, is what you say that is going to determine what you become. So let's go through that again. Your what comes out of your mouth controls three things. Everyone say your body, your circumstances, and your destiny. And although they are tied together, but we can look at them. So when in our language, that means this back is always paining me. I know the back is paining you. We don't do away with the fact that the back is paining you. But if you keep saying it, that's what you're going to have. There's only one way to change the way that back is paining you. Start saying that by the stripes of Jesus, the healing power of God is working inside my back and is healing my back, and my back is getting better.
Amen.
Then what you say will now go and start changing what your back is feeling, And then after a while, your back will not be paining you anymore. What I'm about to say is one of the greatest truths. It is such a important truth. We've taught it in the faith message. Our faith teachers like Ken Hagin and Brother Copeland and others have taught us. But you know, people still don't get it. So I'm going to say it. If you keep saying what you have, you will only have what you have. They didn't get it. They didn't get it.
Yes, sir.
If you keep saying what you have, you will only have what you have. I'm going to say it again. If you got it, give me a wave offering. Put your hand down. You see, where the natural man is so used to saying what he has. He keeps saying what he has. And he says he's telling the truth. And it's the truth in a sense. But if you don't change what you say, then that's what you keep having. There is only one way to change what you have. Start saying something different than what you have.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
That's why the Bible talks about faith as calling the things which are not as though they are. And then they become. Because if you don't change what you say, it will never become.
Amen. Wow.
I am sick. True. I am sick. I am sick. Well, you're going to stay sick. But you are sick. True. Now he's not saying, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. And God's healing power is working in my mortal body. The life of God is working inside my mortal flesh. What am I doing? I'm changing what my body is saying. Now, what my body is telling me is not a lie. It's true. But I can change it. For the things which are seen are temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. If you keep saying only what your physical senses tell you, you will stay in bondage to your physical senses. But if you start saying what the Spirit of God has revealed, then what the Spirit of God has revealed will change.
Hallelujah.
What your physical senses are experiencing is a fundamental truth. And most people, it's like being in a trap. I feel bad. I feel weak. So I have to tell everybody how I feel. Looking for human sympathy. So it keeps you in that trap. But you know what the Bible says? Let the weak say, I am strong. Why did God say that? He wants you to get out of weakness. Because he knows that if you don't change what you say, you will stay permanently weak. I don't know if I'm helping anybody. You got to change what you say. If you don't change what you say, you will have what you say. It's a great truth. And it's a spiritual truth. That's why the Yorubas, the proverb I quoted earlier, they learnt it by experience. They found that if this particular man, that's what he kept saying. And that's what happened to him. So they learned to say, Akwimora. So I don't have it yet, but I'm going to say what I want, and then it will become my good.
Amen.
I cannot overemphasize this truth. We're going 2020. It's going to be a great year for you.
Amen.
I didn't hear amen.
Amen.
Start saying it now.
Amen.
Before 2020 comes.
Amen.
So you lay the tracks for 2020.
Hallelujah. Amen.
And the decade ahead.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I'm saying with my mouth, it's going to be my greatest decade. It's going to be a great decade of glory. Hallelujah. Everything I have not done, I'm going to do. Hallelujah. I'm going to walk in the perfection of the fullness of Christ. I'm going to walk with the Spirit without measure in this decade that is coming. Hallelujah. It's going to be my greatest decade yet. My greatest days are ahead of me. You know, I've been saying it. Start saying it. Stop looking at the circumstances. Oh, perilous times. Gross darkness. Yes, there's gross darkness, but the Lord is going to arise upon me. And the glory of God is going to be risen upon me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes, there's going to be perilous times, but when I step in, the darkness will dissipate. Because I am the light. Christ is the light in me. Hallelujah. I am the Christ is in me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. And he says that he is the light of the world. The Bible says, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. So there may be darkness in the world, but once I step there, darkness goes. I don't know if I'm helping anybody. That's the mentality. It's called the 21st century militant Zion church mentality. You start saying it, and it starts with say. You start saying it. You say what God says. You don't say what you feel. You don't say what you are experiencing. You say the word. And then what you say by the power of the Holy Spirit will start changing. For the things which you see are subject to change. They can be changed. But they will not be changed if you keep saying them. Look at Abraham and Sarah. Classic example. God, knowing this principle, I don't know how well you know the story of Abraham. God spoke to him and brought him out of Ur of the Chaldees, which is modern day Iraq. His parents and his background, they were worshippers of the moon. Can you imagine that? Abraham used to worship the moon for 70 years. 75. But he had a good heart. See, there are a lot of people like that. Today they are Buddhists, they are Muslims, they are, Hindus. But some of them have good hearts, just like Abraham. That's why we have to get the gospel across to them. But God saw this man. This Abraham, he has a good heart. You know, he obeys the law of conscience as best as he can. So God was watching his heart. So God appeared to him and said, come. I'm going to make you a great nation. Leave your father. Don't leave all those people. Just leave them alone. Come out. You know, I will take you to a new land. And I'll make a great nation of you. And all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in you. Abraham believed. And he left. With his wife Sarah. Unfortunately, he took Lot. Which was not part of the command. Be careful who you carry. He didn't say, he said, leave your father. He didn't say, take Lot with you. He said, leave your father's house. Don't let me go into that story. So he goes out and he's walking with God. And God begins to bless him. You know, he's rich in gold, he's rich in silver. But his wife, Sarah, doesn't have a baby. This is after about, 10, 15 years, you know. So one day, God comes to visit him. And you know what Abraham told God? He said, God, you've been good to me. This will be his translation. I'm paraphrasing. You've been kind to me and all that. He said, but this, my servant, is going to be my heir. See, I go childless. God immediately recognized the problem. Abraham was seeing the wrong thing. You know what he was seeing? He was seeing what he had. He was childless, which was true. Sarah was barren, and they didn't have a baby. So he kept looking at what was in the physical. And that was his attention. So God had to change his attention. So God said, come. You don't understand. Come out. Look at the star. Look at the sky. He said, I like God. He said, start counting. You know, for those of us who are in physics now, we now understand that God was given an impossible task. Nobody can count the number of stars in the galaxy. This is just one galaxy. Hello? You can't count them. Amen? So Abraham began, 1, 2, 3, 4. God was leading him on. But today 100. Anybody is zero? Father, 1, 2, 3. He said, can, after that, God, you know, there are just so many. I can't count them. He said, so shall they see. The first thing, he changed what he was seeing. Fast forward a few years after some terrible mistakes. No, let's go there for this afternoon. After the Hagar and the Egypt and, you know. You see, all of us, that's why it's recorded for us. Many times God will tell you something. And because the thing doesn't happen in 2 years or 5 years, you start changing what you are saying. Then sometimes you want to use the flesh to help God. So you go and say, I give birth to an Ishmael instead of waiting for God's Isaac. Stay where you are.
Amen.
Don't let Satan talk you out of what God has told you.
Amen.
Even if it has not happened yet, keep saying what God said.
Amen.
It's going to come to pass.
Amen.
Abraham made that mistake, and that's why God regarded the Bible so we don't make the same mistake. You know, it was even Sarah. You know how women are. Oh, I don't have any child. Okay, let's, this small girl, you know, you have a child and you want to use, you know, human method to solve a spiritual problem. It will not work. So at 99, God comes and God is angry with him. He's been, don't let me use the word angry, it's too heavy. He was displeased. He said, walk before me and be upright. You know, you have not been upright. He said, now, I'm going to change your name. You're going to circumcise. Can you circumcise a 100-year-old man? Circumcision is the cutting of the foreskin. Can you imagine how bloody and how painful it would have been? But he did it. I said, all right, your name is no longer Abraham. Your name is now Abraham, the father of many nations. Start calling yourself what I'm calling you.
Amen.
You know the story. Within 9 months, the whole situation changed. Can you believe it? After 25 years. Within 9 months. It says, and Sarah received strength to conceive seed. Abraham's body was rejuvenated. 100-year-old man. Because he started saying the right thing. And of course, we know the story. They had Isaac. And Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat the 12 guys, and what is this? And then the 12 tribes begat, you know, Moses and Joshua. Then there was one young boy called David. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. And David, and God told him, said, Jesus will come through you. And fast forward down the line, you know, one little virgin in Nazareth, you know, the Holy Ghost came and put the seed of God into her. And she gave birth to Jesus. And through Jesus, you and I now are the seed of Abraham. Has it not come to pass that so shall thy seed be? If it worked for Abraham, it will work for you. Give the Lord a clap offering. Has it not come to pass? Has it not come to pass? Get to pass. It's going to come to pass for you.
Amen.
Stay with the plan.
Amen. Amen.
We're talking about the tongue. I got to close. This is a prophetic. It's not really prophetic, but it's a, because the general principle word of God, but it's going to work for you in 2020.
Amen.
And the decade ahead of you.
Amen.
Determine from today, no negative thing is coming out of this mouth.
Amen.
Something happened to a great man of God. I read it, you know, and it me as a young Christian back in those days. His name was Gordon Lindsay. Gordon Lindsay was a great man of God of the 20th century. God used him tremendously in the Pentecostal movement with people like William Branham, Kenneth Hagin, Oral Roberts, and all of that. He started what is known as the Voice of Healings. It was his Bible school that Idahosa went to, you know, Christ for All Nations. But, you know, and he was a great supporter to Pa Elton, you know. Great man. You know, Gordon Lindsay writes this in one of his writings. You know, as a young man, you know, believing God for divine healing and everything. So he said, I'm healed. You know, I believe I'm healed. But he didn't get any better. He got sick and sick and sick and sick. It was as if he was going to die. Back in those days, they used to believe God, not to take medicine. But they learned after some time to go to hospital and all that. Anyway, this is what happened. It stuck with me. I didn't read it recently. It's been here all these 40 years. It's just come out now as I'm preaching. And I want to use it as an example to encourage you. You know what Gordon Lindsay told God? He was so sick, you know, and he looked as if he wasn't going to get healed. He said, Lord, you know I have spoken your word, I have believed, but look at how I'm feeling. He said, but for the record, I like people who put God on the spot. This is what he said. He said, for the record, let the angels hear, you are hearing, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. He said, that is my final conclusion.
Amen.
He said, if anything happens, let it happen. He said, but I am telling you, for the record, I am healed. He got healed. Just like that. Within an hour, his condition changed. He put God on the spot. The angel are going to ask God, did you hear what that boy said? The God who watches over his word to perform it. The God who will always do right. He said, for the record, let it be put on record that I said I'm healed and I believed your word. Now do what you like with it. God healed him. God healed him. I've never forgotten that story. He said, I always remember it. He says, you know, for you to tame the tongue, it's going to take the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit to tame that tongue. You cannot tame it in the natural. So how do you tame your tongue? You need to tame your tongue by three things. One, fill your heart with the life of God. Let that be dominant. And that's where life scriptures and all of that comes in. Of course, with an honest and a humble heart, so that there's grace and you can receive it in sufficient measure. You need to fill your heart with the life of God. In that illustration that we did the other time, you know, it's not just enough to have a small measure of life. You have to fill it so that the life fills not the inner man right up to the chest, you know, and above. So the whole inner man is filled with life. So life and consequently the character of God will be dominant. Number two, we're talking about taming the tongue. You need to fill your heart with the word of God. It's a little bit different. The life of God is a substance. It's this zoe, it's this liquid water, this living water. But the word of God is information. You need to know what the Bible says, because that's what's going to give you wisdom. So you need the life of God and you need the word of God. That's why you need to read your Bible every day. That's why you need to listen to messages like this. It's not one thing to fill with the life of God, but you cannot substitute filling with the life of God with the word of God. They go hand in hand. You've got to fill your heart with God's word. And the thinking, watch this, the thinking of God's word will change your thinking.
Amen.
So you start thinking like God. So you start thinking like God. Because God's mental system will now be programmed into you. The more you read God's word, the more you will start thinking like God. Look at what we've just preached to you about Abraham. What God did was change his thinking. I go childless. Oh, they're going to count the stars. Wow! So shall thy seed be. And says, and Abraham believed God. His thinking changed. Look at what I shared with us earlier this morning. Turn to your neighbor and say, the pastor said, your future is secure. You see, you're not like people who don't know where they are going. Don't let me go there. We know where we are going.
Amen.
And we have the road map. He's well with you.
Amen.
God's thoughts toward you are thoughts of good and not of evil.
Amen.
To bring you to an expected end.
Amen.
It is written of you in the volume of the book.
Amen.
When you know that, you know what? It gives you security. It gives you confidence. Not a self-confidence, but a God confidence. I am sure it is well with me.
Amen.
Not because of myself, but because of God.
Amen.
Because I have read what is written of me in the volume of the book. And of my free will, I have chosen to believe it. So everything, there's another beautiful promise that I've shared with us recently, but I want to reiterate it now. It says, all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen. So if it's in the Bible, it's yea and it's amen for me. Ah, Timothy Daniel. That means my own is good. Hallelujah. That's why you need to read your Bible. Then number three, we're talking about taming the tongue, praying tongues. Speak God's word and also pray in tongues. Both of them. God gave me this some years ago. I've said it here in church before. And all these years I've been preaching, I really haven't heard people say it like this. God gave us tongues to tame our tongue. Turn to your neighbor, say,
speaking in tongues
will tame your tongue. I didn't hear you. Turn to your neighbor, say, do you want to tame your tongue? Speak in tongues more frequently. The reason why the tongues of so many Christians are not tamed is because they don't pray in tongues enough. By the time you speak in tongues all the time, the Bible says pray, we're closing now, it says pray without ceasing. I like what the Apostle Paul said. You know what he said? He said, I thank my God. I speak in tongues more than you all. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I believe it's verse 18. You know, first in verse 5, he says, I would, no wonder. He said, I would that you all speak in tongues. Forget if people who say tongues for some people. So the Bible says, I would that you all. So everybody should speak in tongues.
Amen.
Let me go one step further. That will blast your religion. Hello. If you don't speak in tongues, you're not going to tame your tongue. You're not going to tame tongue. Because it's only the power of the Holy Spirit that can tame that tongue. Because the power of the Holy Spirit, watch this. Remember the scripture we read in James? It says, the tongue is set on fire of hell. So you substitute the fires. You take the fire of hell out and you put the fire of heaven. Hallelujah. You now put, the Bible says you are baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. So there is a fire that is bigger than another fire. So you now take the fire of God and you drive out the fire of hell. And then it is the fire of God that will set on fire, with the fire of God, the whole course of your life. You know what they call it? All things working together for your good. All of a sudden, the circumstances will start working in your favor.
Amen.
Right people, right time, right place. It's not luck. Right effect. It's not luck. Luck is a curse word in Christianity. There's no such thing as luck. It's not fortune. Ah, man, you're there fortunate, gone. Oh, lucky me. Oh, lucky me. There's no such thing. There's no such thing. Is God working on your behalf?
Amen.
Put the Holy Ghost to work. Put the fire of the Holy Ghost and it will begin to change your circumstances. Watch this. It will change your body.
Amen.
So you become healed.
Amen.
One. Everyone say one.
Amen.
Then you will become holy.
Amen.
Say two.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Then your youth will be renewed like the eagle. Say three.
Three. Amen.
You can change the whole body with your tongue.
Amen.
You want prayer, I pray, and all of us should be praying it. If you use your life scriptures every day, I do. Amen. It's in Romans chapter 8. And if Christ be in you, say, Father, confess our sins, in Jesus' name we have life. Say, and if Christ is in you, the Spirit has life because of righteousness. That is one of my favorite life scriptures. Oh, I love all my life scriptures. But this one, he said, and if the Spirit of him that raised up Christ dwell in me, he that raised up shall give life to my mortal bodies, you know, and he will reverse the sin nature. It will cause I never forget that one. If my youth to be renewed, I say it with faith deliberately. Look at me, I'm 60 years old. I'm looking young. And I've just started. Oh, yes. I don't intend, I'll tell them on Wednesday. I'm not retiring, I'm refiring. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. The older I get, the stronger I'm going to be. My strength is renewed like the eagles. My brain is sharper now than it was 10 years ago. I read things now, I grasp it, just like that. I can remember things. I can remember credit cards. I can remember phone numbers. Because you see, the inner man doesn't get old. And my mind is in the inner man. You say, oh, my thing back, you know, I think back, God forbid bad thing. The Bible said the Holy Ghost will put me into remembrance by baking it. In our language, that means you're getting older now. You start to forget things. I said, God forbid, I will not forget anything. The Bible says, the Holy Spirit will put you into remembrance. I have a remembrancer inside me. I don't forget. The Holy Ghost will quicken my mind. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The other day, my wife was asking me, she said, honey, what's the number of the Zoom, this thing? That time I didn't know it. You know, I said, I need to check it and all that. So, you know what I went to do? I went to memorize it. It's 998-626-8403.
Hallelujah.
And you know what I did? I just looked at it like that. I said, record it. Holy Ghost, record it. It's in my ROM now. You know, there is RAM and there is ROM. RAM is random access memory. That's the one that you change. But ROM is permanently in the computer. Put the thing inside your ROM. Praise the Lord. I'm not talking to anybody here. You can do that with anything. You can do that with the Bible. You can do that with anything. How do you think I remember all these scriptures? You know, if you tell me a scripture, I can just tell you where it is. You generally, almost 99%. You almost I'll tell you that's where it is. When my wife was asking me, say that scripture about, you know, which part is more honorable, I said 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Your mind is sharp. Yeah. And it's going to get sharper.
Amen.
I'm not getting older, I'm getting younger.
Amen.
That's what the man said. He said, your youth will be renewed.
Hallelujah. Everything.
Start saying it. Amen. Look at my wife. She's looking like a 25-year-old. I was telling her something in the morning. I said, oh, man, fine. See. Monk pay money. See, folks, you determine your destiny. If you say you are getting older, you will get older. If you say your brain is not working anymore, it will not work. You say, but where's the load to me more? Like, where's the mock on you? But if you're like me, at 60, I'm still exercising. I get up in the morning, I do my stretches, I do my press up, I walk on the spot, I keep my everything, I keep it nimble. I keep all my joints and everything, I keep them supple. I'm not going to get with that. I'm going to Afghanistan.
Amen.
I'm going to China. Straight, seriously. We're going to all these places carrying gospel. An old man that is doing like this. Is he going to be able to get there? Some of us are going to parachute us and drop us behind enemy lines. It's not for John Max who will be crying, mommy, 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 mommy. It's for serious people who have learned how to use the power of the Spirit without measure. Sometimes we go there by Felix transportation. Sometimes we just go there by natural sort of thing, get there, and you'll be strong. With the glory of God.
Hallelujah.
I'm not talking to anybody here.
Yes, sir.
So it will change your body.
Amen.
Healing, but healing is just the first part. The renewing of your youth and the purity of your body. Your body will get to a place where it doesn't even like sin.
Amen.
Internal. How by reason of use, then your circumstances, it will be like everybody is your friend. That doesn't mean you won't have enemies. It doesn't mean people want to attack you. But even the people who come to attack you, they will change. Because of the power of God that is coming out. They don't, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Even your enemies, they say, leave that man alone, leave him alone. It's okay, it's okay, it's okay. I remember one time something happened, you know, and I had to intervene in a matter. The man just looked at me like this. He said, oh, guys, because of you. He said, I would have taught these people a lesson. He said, but because of you. Okay, I like the way you talked. It's okay. It's okay. You don't even have to show me anything. Just go, 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 go. We came back recently from a travel, my wife and I, you know, and, you know, in line, there's this new law in customs now. They're checking everything in the airport. If it's over 50,000, and, you know. So as we got out, you know, the girl who was pushing, the protocol person was pushing my luggage. You know, she was just trying to push back. The man said, stop, 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 stop. Don't you know there's a law, there's a new law in Nigeria? You have to check everything, you know. Come here. I don't want to walk like that. So I was coming behind her, and I saw what was happening. So when I just got there, I just smiled. I said, oh, God bless you. The man looked at me. I smiled, the smile disarmed him. He too started smiling. I said, don't mind all these small girls. They don't know how to respect law and order. She should have stopped for you to check. It's my luggage. My name is Pastor Louis Johnson. I just came back. You know, that's my wife. And I said, oh, God bless you. Just go. I didn't bribe her. I didn't give him anything. It's called favor. It's circumstances. When they enter your sphere of influence, are you following? You know what's going to dominate? Peace. Joy.
Amen.
Kindness.
Amen.
He's not normally kind though, but because he has come under your influence, because the spiritual force that is coming out of you, that kindness will impinge upon his mind. It will impinge upon his emotions. He's been, say, I like that, Oga, go. Then, and I close, it will change your destiny.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I've made up my mind, I'm going to fulfill my destiny. I press toward the mark. For the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, that I may apprehend. I have made up my mind. Now, each person has to make up their mind. Joshua and Caleb. I love that guy. Those two guys. Particularly Caleb. You know what he said? It was his confession. Watch this. I'm going to close with this, I promise. I'm allowed three finalists. Am I blessing anybody?
Yes,
or you want to go and eat eba?
No,
what I'm telling you is more important than the eba.
No, no.
You eat eba later, praise the Lord. Take this eba now. This one is manna. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now watch this. They saw the same giants. They saw the same walls. Joshua and Caleb, 12 spies. They saw this. The problem did not change. The problem was the same. But the attitude was different. The Bible says, God said they had a different spirit. That's a different attitude. You know what I said? I like those boys. The warrior mentality. He said, let us go up at once. He said, their defense is departed from them. They are bread for us. their mouths and what they said, their attitude of the heart and the words of their mouth determined their destiny. Because they were 20 years old and above, it was their destiny to die in the wilderness. But they changed it. So they told you, your family, that your destiny to die at 65. Or your destiny, sin. Just look at them. Say, God, have mercy on them. They were kneeling just to the cross. Say, Father, give them. That's the Yoruba translation. They don't understand what they're doing. Forget it. Hallelujah. You know, you become like that. That's how you become. Your tongue is tame. Before you say some of God, to say will come to your mind. Say, don't say that. Say it like this. Be silent. There's a time silence is golden. Say nothing. There's a time to talk. There's a time not to talk. Say, Pastor, how will I know? The Holy Ghost. I can't teach you that one. I have escorted you to the place where you will not be afraid. There's a proverb in our language. What is seen? David Aaron. See, with this message, I have used it to escort you. Now I'm going. You are the Holy Ghost. And then Macquarie Johnny. He will help you. Tell you when to talk, tell you when not to talk. Yeah, don't say anything to this one. He's a herald. So this one, help him. He will appreciate. You just the Holy Ghost. You just know. Because you have tamed your tongue. Let's talk to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's talk to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Woo! Jesus, help me, Lord. Talk to God. See, Lord, have mercy on me. Help me. Help me to tame my tongue as I go into 2020. And let me tell you another great news. The Holy Ghost also told me, nothing is going to happen between now and the end of the year.
Amen.
All those funny nonsense. You know, it's all tradition. And the devil has put in the hearts of people. You see people praying, frantic prayer at the end of the year. Sometimes those prayers are out of fear. Nothing is going to happen to you. You will live, you will not die. You are going to be here on New Year's Eve. You'll be here and in good health. You will see 2020.
Amen.
You will see 2021. Amen. 2022. Amen. 2023. Amen. 2024. Amen. 2025. Amen. 2026. Amen. 2027. Amen. 2028. Amen. 2029. Amen. 2030. Amen. 31. Amen. 32. Amen. 33. Amen. 34. Amen. 35. Amen. 36. Amen. 37. Amen. 38. Amen. 39. Amen. 20. 40. Amen. 41. And beyond, if Jesus hasn't come. Nonsense. Believe only what God said. It is well with you. Your future is secure. The thoughts I have toward you are thoughts of good and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. In plan, there is no premature death. With long life will I satisfy you and show you salvation. Believe that. And say it with your mouth. And you will change it.
Amen.
Talk to God. I don't know if God's going to let us this afternoon. Oh! I don't know, but I'm ready to take off. Glory be to God. Oh! It's good to come to church. Didn't I tell you at the beginning of the service? Aren't you better now? Aren't you better now than at the beginning of the service? So the word of God is true. Give him another clap offering. Hallelujah. I'm pressing on
the upward way.
Hallelujah.
New heights I'm gaining.
Hallelujah.
In every day, still praying.
Pray in a minute, and we're all going to pray together, then we'll share the grace and I'll make an announcement. It's very important. Now, before I do that, never be satisfied where you are.
Amen.
Lord, lift me up. Always on higher ground. The problem with us is that when we do a little bit well, we feel okay and we crest. Don't do that. We're going to perfection.
Amen.
I will not be satisfied with anything less than His likeness. Pastor Kwega quoted that scripture on Wednesday in Ephesians chapter 4 in the Amplified Bible. Nothing less than the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ Himself. Nothing will satisfy me.
Amen.
See, of course, I'm saying it with my mouth. That's what I'm going to get. Let's pray. Say, Father, we confess our sins. We clean with the blood of Jesus from all unrighteousness. Receive your blood. Receive your life. Through your power in sufficient measure. Father, thank you for your word, telling me today, reminding me today that I can tame my tongue, not by myself, but by the Holy Spirit, by your word, your blood, and your spirit. I can tame this tongue so that my tongue will work for me and not against me. It will strengthen my body. It will not defile my body. It will purify my body. It will give me strength. It will give me healing. It will give me health. It will give me purity. It will renew my youth. And with my tongue, I will control my circumstances. And all things will work together for my good. And with my tongue, I will fulfill my destiny. Oh God, help me. Help me. Give me fresh mercy, fresh grace to use the blood, to use your word, your life, and the power of your Holy Spirit. Take my tongue as I go into 2020 and beyond. In Jesus' name, amen. Nekatolo Moshela, mercy, Lord. Lepriketofrenengaras, lopidias, jelekekofrenelas. Mercy, Lord. Jelekekofrenengas. Mercy, Lord. Lepriketolo Moshela ngara dagamatolo motolo motofres. Mercy, Lord. Lambra cantolo motolo motofres. Lombre ki tolo mashela ka goma tolo lagoro ko motolo. Tolo motolo motofres. Lombre ka motolo motolo ka goma tolo. Tolo mas. Tolo motolo. Tolo mas. Tolo motofres. Tolo motofres. Tolo mingire. Tolo motofrene. Jele ki koko frene. Tolo motofrene. Tolo motofrene. In Jesus' name. Now turn to your neighbor and say, don't stop there. After the service, you continue to pray. You pray without ceasing. Anytime you are free, or you have people who are Christians around you, just pray in the Spirit a little bit. The more you pray in tongues, the more you retain that tongue.
Amen.
That's why God gave you tongues. Tongues was given to tame the tongue.
Hallelujah.
Only God could have thought of it. Praise the Lord.
Let's stand. Mommy, come. Let's do the benediction. Thank you, brethren. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You're at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gate of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. Yes, you will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you His salvation, even the perfection of the fullness of Christ. So Lord, He passed unto you the anointings of Enoch,
Amen.
Abraham,
Amen.
Joseph,
Amen.
Moses,
Amen.
Joshua,
Amen.
Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Say, with long life, will God satisfy me and show me His salvation, and my youth is renewed like the eagles. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great day and a week.